Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. I am Reese, the one who does the research, and with me is Jesse, the one who reacts to the research.
That's my job.
And now you're doing a bit of the website too, so if it's unfinished, it's no longer my fault.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
the one who reacts.
The one who reacts.
That's going to be on my tombstone.
He who reacts.
Jesse. It's a good job, honestly. I don't mind it. I just show up and laugh at whatever you tell me. That's my job. It's great.
You use your wit and your intelligence to come up with funny reactions to.
Oh, please.
Sometimes. You've had enough of your... if you've ingested enough of your weird chemicals that you put into your body.
MCT oil.
Perfectly legal.
Good stuff. Yeah. Perfect.
All legal.
It's not liquid acid. It's totally
No, fine. It's fine. How do you feel about large infrastructure projects?
We're not even doing small talk, really? We're just jumping right into it?
Yeah, we are. The small talk is going to seamlessly blend into the topic.
So I'm
asking your opinion. How do you feel about large infrastructure projects?
I don't really feel anything either way about large. I mean, like condos. I don't like condos because they're boring.
That's not a large infrastructure project. That's a residential project.
What is a large infrastructure project?
Like building a highway across an entire country or flattening a mountain to create a party zone.
A party zone? Okay. Well, so first off, I am 100% for our government decimating mountains to create a party zone.
$300 billion to create the world's largest and highest party zone.
I'm down. This sounds amazing. Let's just bring back raves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mountaintop raves.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
So, have you ever heard of the Muskrat Falls project in Newfoundland? It's basically this dam they were building to create electricity and jobs that would feed power, renewable energy across the maritime provinces.
No, that sounds great though. Renewable energy. Woo!
It's what you call a large infrastructure project, but it is $6 billion over budget. And it was supposed to be completed in 2017. And
$6 billion over budget?
3 years late, $6 billion over budget. And it's expected to be completed this summer.
This is our small talk?
This is my kind of small talk. it's been blamed for flooding the area downstream of the Lower Churchill River and contaminating the watercourse with toxic methyl mercury. So basically, my point is that
this is a dam. What are they making?
So they were basically building a dam for hydroelectric energy.
It's a great idea.
It is a great idea, but it's $6 billion over budget.
Right,
3 years late. It's poison things.
Right. Not great. Okay. Yeah.
So
what do I think of that?
What do you think of that? I mean, is not every project, super kind of infrastructure project, can be a successful party zone on Canada's highest peak. Some of them are dams that don't go well. I mean,
well,
the intention was to do something good.
And that's where I'm at, is we have to try, right? The world's on fire, and the only way to put it out is to
try.
Is to try to put it out. Yeah, and that's
not the attitude firefighters have when they turn up at a house that's on fire.
It reminds me
of... we're going to put this out.
Yeah.
It's still on fire. We tried.
It reminds me of a project that I backed on Kickstarter back in, I think, 2012. Jesus. And I still get updates on them from time to time. And it was a project called... now I'm going to educate
you. Oh, shit. I just realized there's like three projects I backed on Kickstarter like 8 years ago. And I've forgotten about it. I never followed up to see if they went through.
They don't update you?
Well, they probably do, but I just didn't
bother. Don't check? You should check.
I think I see the emails every now and again.
Yeah.
I think I'm owed a t-shirt, a book, and an app.
I backed a few Kickstarter projects in the day.
Reminds me.
It was like a napkin or a handkerchief or something in the mail like 3 years later, and I had no idea who the fuck sent this to me or why I got it in the mail. And I'm like, what the, why do I have? And it took me like a day to piece together like, oh, this is like a perk that I was getting for backing a Kickstarter project like 3 years ago. They finally got to fulfilling their orders. Right.
The only one I ever saw to the end was a documentary about RoboCop called RoboDoc. And I got the
that
t-shirt.
That was a Kickstarter.
And I think my name is in the credits as a supporter. And that was it.
That's amazing. So apparently, so, I love RoboCop. You can start a Kickstarter. You can have a successful Kickstarter about once. And for whatever reason, that's like you just can't continue to do successful Kickstarters. I don't know why. It's weird. So like, yeah, have just a group of friends and each one of them does a Kickstarter for Partyville. Right, but just call it a different name, and then you all put your money together and you create a burning man.
I had a failed Kickstarter.
You did?
Yeah.
What?
I needed to raise what would probably be about $35,000 to buy the rights to a TV show I used to make so we could sell it on DVD when people still bought DVDs. And we got halfway, so we probably raised about $17,000.
That's amazing.
Which is still a hell of a lot of money. Yeah. But we didn't get to the market. It never happened.
That's too bad.
But wow. you can watch it illegally anyway. So
right. So I'm going to bring it back to
your Kickstarter
story. Which brings it. Yeah. No, I was going to. Yeah, tell me what were you?
I just hit myself in the teeth.
It's all about me, Reese.
It's all about me.
You just hit yourself in the teeth?
With a can. Yeah.
He's over there giggling.
But these infrastructure projects.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to tie this in.
Go on, tie it in.
Yeah. Okay. So about like, what do I think of that? And it's like, oh, I like the fact that they're attempting something because the world's on fire and we need to try to fix it. Even if it fails, it's good that they're trying. So there was this Kickstarter project in 2012 called Solar Roadways. Have you heard of this?
No, but the title already sounds good.
So it's the idea that there's so much pavement being just sitting there. And this company's like, why don't we turn pavement into solar panels, right? Like we get this high pressured glass that cars and trucks can drive over, and underneath it will be solar panels so that parking lots and highways will be constantly absorbing sunlight and turning it into electricity, right? It kind of blew up. They got like $2 million because one of their fans, someone was like, that's a great idea. I'm going to make a video for them on YouTube. And he made a video and it went viral. The video and the guy was not associated with them at all. He just loved their idea. And it was called you can look it up on YouTube. It's called Solar Fucking Roadways. Right. And it's it's an amazing video. And it went viral and it made them over $2 million in their Kickstarter. And so they're one of the highest, like they're on the list for one of the highest grossing Kickstarters. And they've been working on getting it up there ever since. And at the time, some geek troll was so angry that people were giving them money. I gave them 10 bucks, whatever. I didn't give them like, you know, $2,000. I gave them 10 bucks, right? And a lot of people gave them $10, $20, you know, whatever. But this one geek was so furious that like people are giving them money, right? Because it's like, it's not going to work. And this is why. And he spent so much time doing so much research. And then he made his own counter video on YouTube as to why it doesn't work. And the science isn't there. And it's just not right. And you shouldn't be doing it. And don't give them your money. And like, really? They're trying something.
Yeah.
And in the same year, fucking Michael Bay's Transformers grossed $1 billion. You're gonna get mad at anyone for throwing $10 someone's way? Get mad at that, okay? That man does not need more money to make more fucking Transformers movies. Me giving $10 to someone to give it a shot, even if they fail, I feel like is a worthy cause if they're gonna try something. So that's bringing it all the way around. That's how I feel about them, even if it's $6 billion over the mark at the Newfoundland.
They're trying to do it.
Yeah,
exactly. So. Well, these infrastructure projects as
that's
well.
My way of saying I'm for it.
But you get a lot of them around Canada where they're like, oh, we're going to build a pipeline. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
I don't want to end the solar roadways by saying that it doesn't work. It does work. It just needed tweaks in technology, which did come along in the coming years.
Which is the whole point of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like
that's what the money's for.
In 2012, it wouldn't really have sustained itself very well, but the technology on solar panels has increased significantly since 2012 that it's now becoming like, oh yeah, we can make this now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, did you know that Canada's first failed infrastructure project was called the Illuit Trail?
The Illuit Trail.
And it was 1877.
Oh, we're not talking about the new. I thought the episode
was
about
Newfoundland. We're not talking about that one. That's an example of.
Really was small talk. Oh, so, yeah, it was. Sneaky bastard.
The old switcheroonie. So, what we're actually talking about is the Illuit Trail, which was one of the first probably Canada's first major failed infrastructure project.
Okay.
Wait, and
Canada's first major, because Montreal's, the thing in Montreal, the big failed dome,
The Olympic Stadium.
No, there's another one in Montreal. Montreal's a bunch of failed.
Well,
so this must have been in the 60s or 50s?
This was 1877.
Oh, wow.
So okay. This is going way back.
Way back.
I'm just going to search. So it cost 35,000.
You don't have this up and running?
Canadian dollars.
Your impressive organizational skills, right?
So hang on.
What's going on here? Can you hear that thumping? That's Reese Googling what he's about to tell me.
No, so I was going to say.
This is what the show has devolved into now.
The project cost $35,000, and I'm trying to work out that would be the equivalent of...
Oh, I see what you're
doing. Yeah. So it was... This,
hold on, let me ask Siri. Hey, Siri, what is $35,000
I've got it.
1876?
Here's what I found.
Oh, it's just throwing me... Okay, you got it. It's like, here's the look on the 1877
web. 1877 would be...
1877.
Calculate... that didn't work. Anyway, it was a lot of money in those days.
Well, how much?
$35,000 in the late 1800s would have been a lot of money.
I'm going to look it up. Because I don't think you're...
It doesn't matter. I don't know. Millions, billions.
Millions and billions.
Millions and billions. Yep. Lots of money.
Millions of billions.
So the Iliwit Trail runs from the mountains...
Are we just talking like a hiking trail?
No, it was a trail for cattle. So it was hard to get cattle to Vancouver across the mountains of BC.
Right.
And they came up with this idea of a trail to help the cattle ranchers.
Okay.
In the rural areas of like the mountainous parts of British Columbia to get down to market. So
okay.
This is an article from 1936 the title of the article is called Working on the Old Iliwit Trail. It says, in June 1875, the old steamship Beaver, famous...
The what?
The steamship known called the Beaver.
The Beaver, all right.
Just called Beaver, not the Beaver. Not that, just Beaver. Just
Beaver,
all right. Famous in British Columbia's history, had steamed into the Barad Inlet from Victoria with a party of 15 men. She landed on the North Shore. Sent by the provincial government, these men were to make a trail up Seymour Creek as part of a projected trail between Barad Inlet and Iliwit, via Squamish and Pemberton Meadows. The purpose of this trail was to bring cattle from the Iliwit and Caribou Ranges to the seacoast for market, thus avoiding the greater part of the Caribou Road. It was argued that the advantage of the trail, especially for cattle, with a much shorter distance to coast markets and a greater supply of feed en route, would be a great boon. They don't use that word enough anymore. A great boon.
I know. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, yeah. More boon.
can you go pour me a cup of boon, please?
Exactly. To cattlemen, as it would enable them to market the cattle. Oh, I slipped in
boon. Ah, oh, jeez.
Boon.
You get a little boon on your face there.
It's too boon. And this is the map of the trail. You can see Vancouver at the bottom and a little red trail that goes up through lots of mountains.
So up to Edmonton there? Or?
Not that far, no. It basically goes up to slightly west of Kamloops, where it kind of evens out a bit. It's not as mountainous. It's slightly more like rolling hills.
So they were going to use dynamite and just, I don't know, how the fuck did they build a trail back in the 1800s?
It's a long trail. So
just a handful of men off of a steamship were like, all right, we're here. We're going to build the trail. You're safe. We're going to build the trail. Just get out of our way.
Exactly.
And they were just with pickaxes and dynamite. I'm assuming they don't really say how they're going to do it, but.
So basically.
That's what I want to know. I want to know how the fuck a handful of men were going to build a trail hundreds of miles long.
We will get to that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited.
So the trail's route was described as improbable. And it hugged lakeside cliffs. Where they needed to build trestles and floating platforms to be built out above or onto the lake. There were marshes, heavy forests, with famously thick mosquitoes. No, I think that's thick in the modern sense of they had big ass.
Yep, big-ass mosquitoes.
Big-ass mosquitoes.
Actually, that's how we'd say it now. Like exactly. That's a big-ass mosquito. Back then, it's like, I don't know, what's an 1800s Canadian accent? There's a thick-ass, you don't
there's
say thick-ass.
There's just a thick mosquito.
There's a thick mosquito.
Exactly.
That's my 1800s Canadian accent.
And lastly, a torturous stairway section of the trail.
A torturous stairway?
And this is, they were herding cattle on this, and there was they had to use steps on a trail that was only 6 yards wide.
Oh my god!
So
they built it, did they?
Well, this was the plan. This is the plan.
The plan was to, so hold on, wait a second. So it's not torturous after the fact. Like they built it, and then someone came by and like that is a torturous stairway. The plan was to build a torturous stairway.
The landscape implied that if you did build a staircase, it would be torturous.
Oh, okay. It wasn't in their minds. Like and build a torturous stairway. Those fucking cattle don't know what's coming. Like that's
they were like they like looked at the map. Haters. They were like, we know that a few hundred miles in that way there is. At the place we need to be. We're going to start here, and we're just going to start building a road in that general direction, see what happens.
And see what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, so okay.
The chief promoter of this trail was the Honorable Thomas Basil Humphreys.
Hold on.
He was a member
Say that name one more time.
Thomas Basil Humphreys.
But you got to say it with some, like, royalty, because that's a royal name. I could picture the man wearing a coif and, like, a...
I now announce the arrival of the Honorable Thomas Basil Humphreys.
Yeah, like that.
A coif is not a thing. Coiffed hair and an ascot.
Just coiffed all over.
Coiffed. Just coiffed.
Generically coiffed. Yeah.
their man is coiffed.
So for him, the Illiwit Trail was a strong plank of his election platform, and he was a very good orator. He was very convincing. He sat
an orator,
as in he could give good speeches and move people with his speeches.
Oh, okay.
Power of words,
right?
Like Humphreys. Like Hitler, but instead of world domination, he wanted a trail through some mountains.
With a torturous staircase.
With a torturous staircase. So I believe in the torturous staircase. So
is that his campaign slogan?
They started the trail in 1873, and it was the idea was they would start on the rocky and precipitous shores of Seton and Anderson Lakes. The distance they had to work was 164 miles in total, which is a long way for completely complete wilderness over some difficult terrain. So in the spring of 1875, it was decided to put two gangs of men at work on the trail, one at each end, and they would meet in the middle.
That couldn't go wrong.
Mm.
Right.
And this newspaper article was written in the 30s, so some of the people who worked on it were still alive. It says, Alex Jack was the foreman, probably one of the only member of the party who remains alive, even though the person who wrote this article is probably dead.
Right.
A real trailblazer, he struggled through the woods ahead of the other men, clambering up steep hillsides to locate the best grades and frequently fording the stream, and laid out the route of the trail by gashes made on the tree with his axe. And it was quite dangerous. So John Hall, there's an article in 1875 on August the 28th. I had to look through a lot of newspapers to find this. I'm joking.
Quick.
The headline was Accident at Burrard Inlet, Mainland Guardian. John Hall, while cutting brush on the trail between Burrard Inlet and Illiwit, received a severe wound from his brush knife, which severed the main artery in his wrist. He was about 3 or 4 miles from the inlet and alone. He attempted to reach aid, and he traveled 2 or 3 miles towards Moodyville.
Moodyville?
I'm bleeding to death. I know where I'll go. Moodyville. Dr. McInnes was telegraphed for and was soon beside the sufferer whose wound he dressed. The patient is very low from loss of blood in Moodyville.
Did he survive?
Bloodless in Moodyville. That's a good name for a film.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Can we talk about the name Moodyville for a second?
Like, the happiest place on earth. That should be the title.
Like, who came up with this title?
It's like, right? People misjudge Moodyville based on the name. It's actually a hamlet. It's not a real village.
Right. That's what they're...
Yeah.
That's...
there was a report done because progress was slow and people were injuring their arteries with brush knives and having to walk alone for 3 miles while bleeding to death.
That's where the torturous staircase came to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So for the British Columbia Parliament, the Honorable Chief Commissioner of Lands and Works, there was a report written, and I have the honor to inform you that according to your instructions, I proceed with party to Burra Inland to commence opening a trail from that place to Illiwit. After exploring for some miles around, we commenced at the mouth of the creek, 1 mile from Woodyville. We found country to be heavily timbered, very thick underbrush, boggy for the first mile, which caused considerable corduroying and bridging.
Bridging? What's that?
I'm building bridges.
Oh, bridging.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what corduroying, that's making trousers.
That's what I thought, I figured, yeah.
Yeah. Just maybe if the mate spent less time making fashionable trousers, It would have made a trail. Our greatest difficulty was the want of horse feed. Not an acre of open ground as far as we've gone, except beaver swamps of sedge grass. We send the horses back to the inlet when we're not packing them. So basically what it meant was, as they were building the trail,
there was no grass for them.
There was no food. And the whole point of this trail is for cattle to go along it.
Oh, that's funny.
So the trail, you would take the animals on there, but they couldn't eat it. As long as they filled up before they left.
Right.
For the 164-mile trip over the torturous staircase, they'd be fine.
The fourth and failed novel of the Lord of the Rings series.
Exactly. So they needed some lammas bread. That's what they needed.
Lammas bread?
Remember the elf bread that they give the hobbits that fills you up even with a tiny mouthful?
Oh, lammas bread.
Lammas bread.
I heard you say like llamas as in...
Llamas. Yeah, you can make bread out of llamas, I expect. just full of spit. Anyway.
Thank you for saying that while I'm taking a drink of coffee. That was a delightful association in my brain.
Apparently they hadn't even sent a civil engineer up as well. And once the money started being poured into it, they'd spent $23,000. It'd taken 3 years. They weren't getting very far. And they finally sent a civil engineer up to take a look rather than just people with pickaxes and shovels.
Finally,
they then had to spend an additional $14,600 and then some more. So basically, after 5 years of and they don't say this article didn't say backbreaking labor, they say heartbreaking labor.
Oh,
so they broke they had broken hearts by the time they finished it, and their backs hurt. and $40,000 expenditure, which as we know is millions and billions.
Right, millions by today's of billions money. Of billions, trillions.
The trail had its first and only cattle drive.
First off, they finished the trail?
They finished the trail.
Oh, shit. I was not expecting that.
5 years late. Oh, 5 years. It took them 5 years. It was 2 years.
So hold on. When they sent an engineer in, a social engineer, what did he say?
I think they just needed to spend more money to actually do it properly.
Oh, okay.
Which they did.
And then they finished it.
And then, so what happened was someone called Robert Carson in the fall of 1877 started out from Illiwit with 200 head, which are 200 cattle, along the rugged trail. At this season of the year, feed was scarce on the high plateaus, as we'd already established.
Right.
Many bridges had been washed out, and the cattle could not manage the steep grades
of the torturous staircase.
And basically, they gave up. They had to recuperate. And by the time they got even anywhere across there, they were too skinny to be butchered from the journey. So it was a complete waste of everyone's time.
Well, probably not the cows.
Yeah.
They saved the cows' life.
In 1878, they investigated the condition of the trail after that one failed attempt to use it. And after several sit-ins and examining the number of witnesses, including Carson, who tried and turned up with skinny cows, they reported that it was not fit to use and just to abandon it and not use it anymore.
What? Really?
Yes. Yeah,
so, just like that.
So that was it. That was the end of the story.
Does the trail still exist?
The trail does exist, but obviously nature is slowly taking over it.
Right.
So the multi-thousand dollar loss incurred by the trail left a bad taste in the provincial government for many years.
Of course.
And eventually the son of the guy who championed it, the orator guy,
right,
became the provincial minister of highways and public works. So even it didn't tarnish his political
career. No, he's fine. Yeah,
people forget. So the trail remained in use by residents of the Pemberton Valley for general purposes, and there were smaller cattle drives across some of the easier sections. But one of the few things that remind people of the Illiwet Trail today now is a little sculpture in Vancouver called the Lost Cows of Illiwet.
The Lost Cows of Illiwet?
Yeah, so at a bus stop between Esplanade and 3rd Street.
It's the best place to put
There is memorials. This tiny little sculpture of...
Oh, it's itty-bitty. It's like a foot
some
tall.
Cows, some lost cows. And that's it. So all that money, all that history, all that injury and hard work, and now it's washed away. Hardly any of it is any use anymore, but there's a charming little sculpture. My only criticism of this sculpture is they don't look like cows, they look like bears.
They do look like bears.
I thought they were bears. I was like, what bears got to do with it? They were driving bears. But imagine being a bear rancher.
Can you sing What's Love Got to Do With It, except by Tina Turner, but what do bears have to do with it?
What bears got to do with it? What's bears on a trail that's for cattle? That
was good.
Thank you.
That was really good. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Very proud of myself. So how did you enjoy the story of the Illiwit Trail and the failed infrastructure projects of the 1800s?
That's a long title. You're going to have to think of a better one than that.
Illiwit Fun Time.
Illiwit Fun Time. Yeah. Illiwit Fun Time in the Torture Staircase.
Bloodless in Moodyville. That's what it's going to be called.
Oh, that's good.
Bloodless in Moodyville. Cool.
I like that. That's a great title.
Everyone.
It's a t-shirt.
Instagram t-shirts. how can everyone... What are we going to plug this time? Instagram again? So we can get two more followers.
Let's do Twitter. Fuck it. We haven't talked about Twitter in a while.
I don't like Twitter.
You don't like Twitter, do you? No. No.
But there are people on there.
Twitter is the angriest place on the internet.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
Angry.com. That's the angry place. I don't want to search it. That's how scared I am. How angry they are.
Okay. So your end, the call to action today is to go to our Instagram feed and to follow us, which would make Reese giggle like a schoolgirl. That's what schoolgirls sound like to Reese.
No, that's like some kind of twisted elf. Just go there. It's
just
great.
Go there.
It's great.
That's it.
It's wonderful.
That's our sales pitch. Yeah.
Thank
you.
See you. Bye.
That's it. We're done. Bye.